other goaltending move, and we thought this would be the sort of the breakout move would be the goaltending who got ahead of that. Brayden Holtby, 1 year, $2 million average in Dallas. Let's bring in Mike McKenna, former NHL goalie and working lately as an analyst on the Vegas Golden Knights broadcast crew. Mike, welcome in. How are you today, sir? Oh, he's not there. Okay, sorry. We're working on that bit of a headset problem here. Can barely hear my board op.
Oh, no?
Okay. Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Well,
but,
I can hear you, so.
Yeah, okay, you can hear, yes. We talked about the goalies, and, yeah. What's your take on Mrazek and Campbell as a tandem? Is that better than Freddie and Campbell, or is it just going a different direction?
I mean, it's tough to say because, you know, Freddie and Jack were pretty formidable together. I think they understood their roles. I think when you're passing the torch and you're creating a changing of the guard in net where Freddie Anderson is longer there and you're leaning on Jack Campbell, well, now you got Peter Mrazek coming in who wants, you know, to play as a starter too, right? So, you know, the good thing about Mrazek is that he's been in this situation before. Jack Campbell's been known for being mostly a career backup. And I think this creates that internal competition that you want and need from your goaltending position, knowing that nobody should get comfortable or feel comfortable in their net. They've got to play up to their capabilities to stay in the net. And I think, you know, having these two play together, knowing that, Peter Mrazek has come from that, could boast to be a good problem for the Maple Leafs.
Yeah, they'd like to have that problem. Let's bring in Mike McKenna now. Mike, welcome. How are you today, sir?
Well, I'm doing okay. Thanks for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
Our pleasure. Mike, what do you think of the Leafs signing Mrazek and the tandem, Campbell and Mrazek?
Question marks. More question marks. I don't think we see a clear answer at this point. And I just, I heard you guys coming on before this and saying how competition might be a good thing and we need somebody to thrive and grab that role. Well, in a pressure cooker like Toronto, I'm not sure that's the best case. And I don't know if there's ever a situation there that potentially works out the way you want it to, but it's a scenario where you've got Peter Mrazek who's coming in off a season where, you know, he played well in the games that he did for Carolina, mm-hmm. but it was injury-pocked. Season before that, you know, kind of up and down. And realistically, Carolina was a team that was always looking for an upgrade in goal, even while Peter Mrazek was there. So I think you know what you have in Mrazek. You have somebody who can play minutes. His consistency, I'm not sure, especially the way he plays. He's rather aggressive with his depth. He can chase pucks at times. He's confidence-based, feel-based. And, you know, a goalie like that can go on big runs at times, but he can also go the other direction and be cold for a while. So there's concern there. I think the X factor is really Jack Campbell. Can he grab this role and run with it? It's taken him a long time to get to the point of where he is. Last season performed really well at the beginning of it. It's just going to be a matter of consistency for him finding his footing and trying to truly become a number one goaltender in the league. To me, he has the higher ceiling. We know what you have in Peter Mrazek. It's going to be really interesting to see how it plays out between these two.
Mike, what about going the other way? You predicted yesterday that Freddie Anderson would sign in Carolina. What does that do for the Maple Leafs in losing a guy like him? And do you still have faith that he has, you know, everything that's in him to be a number one guy and thrive in Carolina?
Yeah, I think for Freddie, it was just a matter of, you know, are you going to stick around in the pressure cooker for, you know, another couple of years after you've already been there for five seasons worth of it? And, you know, you look at his first couple of years and he played so well for the Leafs and never got the credit he really deserved. And so much of it just comes down to playoffs. And is everything on Freddie Anderson's shoulders? No. But does it seem like it in Toronto? Absolutely. You know, it's easy to point at a goaltender and say this guy didn't save the pucks we needed him to when the team scores one or two goals a game. So I think it was just enough for him. But to me, Anderson's still a top 10 goaltender in the league when he's on his game, when he's healthy. And last year, obviously his numbers don't really reflect that. He was injured a bit, and he just seemed to lose his game, his confidence. And in some ways, it seemed like he just lost his passion for playing is what it looked like outwardly. And I think it's going to be a great reboot for him going to Carolina. Ton less pressure. I think he'll thrive there. And he's still only 31 years old. So, you know, he still has something to prove, though. You know, obviously the playoff hump is a big thing for him. But I think for the Leafs now, you lose a guy that played a lot of minutes. He was a true number one, 60-plus games a year. Mm-hmm. They're going to miss having that minute muncher in net that they knew was going to be ready to go.
Yeah, and maybe that's a change in the guard that we're seeing with the way we evaluate goaltenders is to expect to lean on a guy for, you know, 65-70% of the games, mm-hmm. you know, unless you're Andre Vasilevsky, doesn't really lead to a lot of success. But I want to bring this back a little bit to, you know, to home for you, where in Vegas last year, you covered Marc-Andre Fleury and Robin Lehner, and you got to probably know those guys really well. Well, I don't really know how well you got to know them because of all the COVID protocols, yep. but you watched them play a lot. What did you make of the decision of the Vegas Golden Knights to decide to move on from Marc-Andre Fleury? Do you think that was the right choice?
Well, I think it was just a matter of what they felt they had to do with the cap, which is what Kelly McCrimmon has said publicly with it. Realistically, they got into a pickle that they couldn't get out of over a year ago with the Pietrangelo signing, and then trying to work around that. They couldn't move Fleury last summer when that seemed like the play they were going to do. You know, you sign Robin Lehner to a 5-year deal and basically put it down on paper that this is going to be the goaltender moving forward. And then Vegas wasn't able to find a suitable offering, it seemed like, for Flower last summer. And, you know, I think last year, especially, you look at way both goaltenders played. Marc-Andre Fleury was just absolutely outstanding for the first month and a half of the year, and especially when Robin Lehner was out with an injury, he carried the ball and played at a level that we hadn't seen previously. And I loved how Marc-Andre took his game to a new level by incorporating a couple of new details to his game, just basically streamlining it, working with goalie coach Mike Rosati to make sure he's playing within his post more often. And I thought Robin Lehner had a nice season. It really ramped up towards the end of the year. You know, he came off a concussion midway through and was lights out from there on. That tandem would be a nice pairing again, but when you have cap constraints and when, let's face it, when you're playing for the President's Trophy against the Colorado Avalanche with 3 games left and you can only trot 15 players out on the ice because you're so far up against the cap, you got to move somebody. And it seemed like Marc-Andre was the easiest one to do. And am I surprised by it? Sure, just because Marc-Andre, his emotional attachment to that city in Vegas is just massive. And this is a defining moment for that franchise. People there are angry.
For the first time, right?
Yeah. Must be nice to come into the league in the first 4 years. You're in the conference finals yep. 3 of those 4 years.
Yeah, well, and guys, like, let's think about this. Like, I know everybody, it's an expansion team, and do fans really understand? Well, you know what? You give fans in any city, and I don't care if you're playing in Aruba, you give them a year or two, and they understand the game pretty well. And I know that, you know, they haven't had hockey for 1,000 years like in other places, but for the normal fan out there, you know what offsides is, you know what icing is, but you know what fans really can tell? Effort. They know when they see effort, and yep. they want to be part of a winner. And Vegas has been a winner, period. And that's what's expected now. But I do think that they also, they want their players, and you build these loyalties and these rapports with guys that you just bank on. And Marc-Andre Fleury was that guy. He built that franchise. He carried it through that whole first season, and now he's out. And now we have to see how the fans respond. Do they go along with it? If Vegas wins the Stanley Cup, people probably aren't saying a whole lot at the end of the day. But right now, there's a whole lot that remains to be seen.
Mike, bear with me while I update. James Reimer is signed with San Jose. Some of these deals, we don't have the terms. Sean Corrali, $10 million, 4 years with the Jackets. Michael Bunting with the Leafs, as rumored, 2 years, average of $950, which gives the Leafs about $4.6 to spend. CeCe with the Oilers, 4 years, $3.25. Martin Jones with Philadelphia, 1 year, and $2 million. The goaltender thing was supposed to lead the parade, and it did. Any surprises in what you know of people signing?
Neither of those do really with me. I mean, Reimer to San Jose, he's been there previously, was brought in as insurance down a playoff run. I understand that move. Aiden Hill, James Reimer tandem for a team that's trying to reclaim their spot. I'm not sure how inspiring that is, but Aiden Hill is a nice prospect. I played against him in the Calder Cup playoffs 2 years ago and saw him dominate at the American League level, still finding his footing in the NHL. I think just in general, San Jose's got to make sure they've got their goalie coaching staff locked down. I don't know the status on what Yevgeny Nabokov is going to be doing there, especially with Martin Jones being bought out, and now moving to Philadelphia. Him going to Philly's not too surprising. Jones has pedigree. He has played well before. I like that pairing because he's going to get the chance to work with Kim Dillabaugh in Philadelphia. He's an excellent goaltending coach, and I think that you need someone that Jones can rely on. His game has been all over the place the past couple of years. He's been deep in his crease. He's been outside his crease. He looked like somebody who was searching. So for him, I think that's a good fit. I think we're still looking, guys. What happens with Grubauer? Does Kemper go anywhere? Those are going to be the big dominoes for me on the goalie market. Until those come across the board, I think we're still looking at some pretty surprising things down the road in the next 24 to 48 hours.
Mike, really appreciate you stopping by. Thanks very much.
Anytime. Thanks so much for having me on today, guys.
Our pleasure. Mike McKenna, former NHL goalie, and has spent the last couple of years in the Vegas broadcast crew, so gave us some good insight into Marc-Andre Fleury, which was the first ripple, a big ripple.
Yeah,
it's like time. Throwing a